This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one-man band. I'm the number one fan.
Me and my. Welcome to episode 122. Of me and my 88 friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. I want to start the show out tonight with a song called Stand Up in Church. Stand up in church. Gonna testify. Gonna tell all my friends and my neighbors what a changed man am I. I got something to say. Got a story to tell. That was Stand Up in Church, sung by yours truly and backed up by the wonderful band Damascus Road. I've been wanting to do this episode since we started over 2 years ago, but I seriously didn't know if I could hold it together because my guest makes me laugh. I can look at him and laugh. I have laughed with him and at him virtually all my life. We laughed together through all 12 grades of school. And to this day, whenever I get down in the dumps, I'll just call him up and we laugh. And I laughed so much at him that I didn't know if I could seriously do an interview with him. But my guest is James Corbett, my lifetime friend that I've known since I was a little boy. He is one of the most loved people I've ever known. He can walk into a room and everybody just begins to smile. He has been in ministry for many years. he and his wife and children had a family singing group for a number of years. They traveled all over America and even in England. And he's a song leader, one of the best I've ever seen of an old-time song leader. And they've done revivals, and he's on staff at a Baptist church in North Carolina. In addition to that, he manages a Napa store in Hickory, North Carolina. So please forgive me if I laugh a lot in this episode. I can't help myself. But let's go to a conversation that James Corbett and I had a couple of nights ago. All righty. We got my childhood friend on the phone, Mr. James Wayne Corbett. Let's jump into this thing here. Tell me if I got my facts right. You were born on November 29th, 1948, at the Lee County Memorial Hospital in Bishopville, South Carolina. Is that true?
That's what I wrote lied in the third grade. I was had an autobiography we had to write in the third grade, and Lawrence put down he was born at Toomey Hospital in Sumter. Becky, our other friend, wrote down Kershaw County Hospital, and I wasn't going to put down Warner Tunin's grocery store where I was born. So I put down Lee County Memorial Hospital, which wasn't even built in 48.
Yeah, the teacher looked at it and she said, the Lee County Hospital was built in 1952. You were born in 1948.
She caught me in a lie in the third grade.
And you were born in a store. In a store, right?
Right in the back of the store. Daddy and Mom was running that store and living in it at that time, yeah. 48. And I was born right in the back of the store in the left-hand corner. Aunt Lorene told me where I was
Every
born.
Time when I go up there in that old store, I think of your birthplace. You lived at a place called Red Hill.
That's right.
Little community.
Almost on the top, yeah.
Yeah.
The top of Red Hill.
And, but tell my people what the legal name is at the voting polls.
I was thinking about that today, telling somebody at work, Lawrence.
Yeah.
We was talking about snakes or something else. I said I was raised and born at Rattlesnake Springs.
That's right. Rattlesnake Springs, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Didn't you step on a snake one time?
I tried to. I was running down the road, and our TV is broke like it was most of the time, so I was going to Mr. Warner's store to watch Gunsmoke, I think it was.
Yeah. And you stepped on a snake, right?
Yeah. There was a piece of rubber in the road in front of my house, so I jumped and bounced on that old piece of tractor tire. And so I got on way on down there where the snakes cross at by Joe's house. And I said, well, I'm going to jump on that piece of rubber. And I tried to jump on it, it moved, and it was a big old rattlesnake.
Weren't you barefooted, too?
I was running wide open, though.
Okay.
I don't know why in the world he didn't strike my leg.
How do you think we're doing so far?
Lawrence, only God knows that, honey.
Okay. I just want to say that you and me and my cousin Becky was 4 days younger than you, and I was 6 months younger than the two of you. But we had a very special friendship, didn't we, the three of us?
Oh, my word, yes.
Yep. And
all the way through school, just about what
our whole lives. And the weird thing about it is that we all play the piano. Every one of us play the piano.
I know, it ain't that odd.
And
every one of us.
We played by, as they say down there, by air.
That's exactly what we call it.
But
I would, you know, I told people that up that I was grown.
Yeah.
And asked me, how do you play by note? I said, no, I play by air. And not by ear. Lord have mercy. But that's what we heard, didn't we?
Yeah, and we all three had different styles. I think Becky told me that she played a church, kind of church music style. I played kind of more maybe rock or, you know, but mm-hmm. you were absolutely honky tonk.
You know, they still say that at church when I play sometimes.
Oh, my goodness.
I played Sunday night up there with the guitar player.
Yeah.
Just played around before church started.
Yeah.
And we got to play, and I wouldn't take nothing from my journey now.
Yeah.
And some of them come in to say, you honky tonk in that thing, son.
Yep. There's no other way to describe it. You honky tonk. Heavy on the bass, and you pound it. You pound the piano. And do you remember the time?
Hey,
my people don't know that you spent many years in evangelistic work and doing revivals all over the country. But
we sure did.
What didn't you play the? You had to play the piano at some of these meetings because you did it with an evangelist, and you played this real slow song during the offering. Remember what?
I never forget it. We was down in Pembroke, Georgia. That's where we was at. And we was having a revival meeting down there, and I was with evangelist Boatner. And I was playing. They said, I want you to play the offertorial. So I thought I'd be stylish and play it as well with my soul. And I played, you know, dun, 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 you know what it feels like. And it was so slow, and we took up, I think, $3. Evangelist Boatner told me that night after this thing, said, if you play another one of them funeral songs, we won't get out of Georgia. For God's sake. So I played, I think it was a Rambo song. I can't remember what it was. And I tore it up the next night, and I think we got $300 there.
So.
And from then on, I ain't played nothing slow on no offertory song. I had it rocking song.
Okay, now, you were the class clown. I just want to say that. Everybody that knows you knows that you were the class clown. But you always got in trouble. You always seemed to calamity followed you. We went to the Charleston on the 7th grade trip. We went wading in the ocean. What happened to you?
Ain't that awful. And honestly, somebody said you meant to do that. I did not. Something kind of the ocean, you know, the current pulled sand from under my foot and slid me down. And I got sobbed wet and down there to tour Charleston. You remember?
We were going through the museums and the churches, and you were dripping wet.
Went into church where George Washington sat in a historic church, and me dripping water.
And of course, you had to sit down. We all had to sit at the seat where he sat, you know. And sat down there dripping away. But then in the 5th grade, you had another terrible thing happen. I mean, you just had calamity. The teacher asked you to open the window because it was stuffy.
I know where you're going now.
And so you lifted it up and broke.
And she had an old pot plant sitting right in the window. And it fell out. I had nothing to do with that. She had it sitting up in there, and it fell out and busted.
Broke into a thousand pieces.
Yes. And she all about that. It was an antique pot, wasn't it?
Her grandma had given it to her.
Her grandmother had given her that or something.
But tell them what your punishment was.
Well, speak to me. What was it?
Yeah, she told the whole class, don't speak.
The whole class not speak to me. Don't have nothing to do with me.
So all day long, none of us would speak to you.
That'll miss. I am ruined psychologically, then.
Now, I want you to tell me the story about your sister who married into money. She married a rich man from San Francisco. I want you to tell me that story of the rehearsal dinner.
Well, they were already married, but we went up to meet her in-laws, my brother-in-law's parents from San Francisco. And so we went up there on a Sunday to at Durham, I believe it was at that time, if I'm not wrong, Durham, North Carolina.
Your sister met him. He was in the military, right?
Yeah, he was in the military at Shaw,
okay.
And she met him, and she was nursing at the hospital in Bishopville.
You weren't living in a mansion, right? But your brother-in-law was.
Who wasn't living in a mansion?
Your brother-in-law grew up in a mansion, right?
Well, very nice, you know, not a mansion, but very nice and kind of what we call stylish, you know.
And so we would call you a country boy.
You got that double right there now. Slopping hogs, country boy.
All right, tell me the story.
Well, anyway, we went up there, and to make a long story short, Mary Jane, my sister-in-law and brother, and my little nephew, whatever, George, he went with us, and Mom and Daddy. And we didn't know they were carrying us to this fancy restaurant. Huge, big old house, brick-looking home, big old thing, and somebody come and opened the door when we got there and ushered us in. And a big chandelier for hanging time. He went in the door, you know. I said, what is this? And then they took us into a private dining room. And I never seen so much as glasses and silver and stuff on the table, because we never eat with nothing but one fork where I was raised at. We didn't know what a knife was. By the way, you know what Aunt Lorene said about a knife, Lauren?
Nope.
She had some people come down from New Jersey visiting with Helen. And they asked, I think she had roast beef and something up. And they asked, do you have a knife? She said, no, we don't have a knife. Said, if the meat is too tough to cook with a fork, throw it out the back door. That was about the way I was raised, I think. But anyway, to make a long story short, that table had more knives and forks. So anyway, they put me right down by the Coonies from San Francisco.
And they were rich. Were they dressed up?
They were dressed. And she even changed glasses to read the menu. I ain't never seen anybody with two pair of glasses in my life. And she changed glasses. I said, and the ones that go on the end of your nose, stylish, like, you know, to read the menu. So anyway, I was sitting right down amongst them in the middle of that down there.
Well, so she's sitting right beside you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And him on the other at the end down there. And I said, well, I ain't just going to sit here. I got to talk about something, though. You know me. I got to talk.
So you had to think of something in the conversation to keep the conversation going.
Yeah, I said, I got to think of something to talk about with them instead of just sitting here like an idiot, not knowing I made myself an idiot. And I said, excuse me. Yes, how are you? Yes, can I, what were you saying? I said, excuse me, please. I said, do y'all eat a lot of Rossaroni in San Francisco? She said, pardon me, please. I said, y'all eat a lot of Rossaroni in San Francisco, don't you? And she looked at her husband and said, Mr. Cooney, and said, honey, do you know about Rossaroni? And I said, well, the TV says on the commercial, it's a San Francisco treat. So I figured y'all must eat a bunch of that after. Lord, I had made a fool out of myself. Didn't even know what Rossaroni was, and me asking them. But you know that little thing would ring that streetcar bell?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
San Francisco treat, ding, ding. And I said, well, I didn't know they must eat a lot of that after. The TV said it did. So I made another fool out of myself.
Okay, tell me about your friend, our friend, and we'll go ahead and say her name because she's a good sport, Esther. This is a situation where you praised God when somebody backslid and fell into sin.
You ain't lied, I did. I sure did praise the Lord. Anyway, we would have algebra. I hated it. I still hate it today and don't know why nobody even wanted to take it. Did you like it?
No.
I couldn't stand that. Heck,
not at all.
And I didn't understand it, and I tried the best I could. I think I did. But anyway, and Miss Esther Stokes sit in front of me, and she would...
She came to my church.
She went to church with you, yeah, down at your church at St. Andrews. And she sat in front of me, and Miss Johnson was the teacher. She would give us a test on Monday sometime. And I would point to Esther. I said, Esther, slide over. I whispered, I said, Esther, slide over where I can see your paper.
Because she made great. Esther made great grades.
Yeah, she did real well.
And she was sitting. She was sitting right in front of you.
Right in front of me.
So you told her to move so you could see her paper.
Pencil. I said, slide over in your desk so I can see your paper. Problem number one. And on Mondays, oh Lord, Lawrence. No, I'm not. I went to the altar yesterday, and I got right with the Lord, and I'm not going to cheat. I said, oh, my God, I hate tests on Mondays. And then by Friday, Miss Johnson gave us another test. And I punched Esther. I said, Esther Stokes, move over. Let me see your paper on your desk. And she slid over. I said, thank God Esther's back slid on the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I was so glad she had backslid and let me see her paper.
So you could copy her paper on Friday, because by that time...
Oh, yeah. She has to backslid during the week's time.
But if it was Monday, if you look out, huh?
Monday, she had just got off the altar and wouldn't cheat, and I would fail every time on Monday. Every test. But I was so glad when Esther backslid. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Now, you've heard this episode where we had our friend Ronnie Grant, who is in heaven now.
Oh, yes.
And I want to play something that we recorded earlier. Were you there? You might have gone, but were you there the day that Fatty did his famous jump back, David?
Oh, John. Yeah. Oh, I can laugh till I cry today. Just seeing him telling you, don't be square.
Yeah, yeah. So, our school had all kinds of rules. I mean, everything was against the rules. You couldn't wear a hat. If you came to school with no socks, you'd be sent home. And, of course, you couldn't chew gum and no radios or whatever. Well, one day in the ninth grade, James Fatty, I shouldn't call him that, but anyway, he calls himself that even to this day. The teacher, who was just as prim and proper, but no nonsense, Miss Stuckey, she had sat down before the day started, our homeroom teacher. She was sitting at the very back of the room in a desk. And when you walked in, it looked like she wasn't there because there's other students around her. And so our friend, somebody had a transistor radio. So he turns it up full blast and walks in. And he had invented this little dance. There was a song popular by Rufus Thomas called Jump Back, Baby, Jump Back.
Last night before.
Jump back, baby, jump back.
So he figured out this little dance where he would he would lean over, grab his knees, I guess, and lean all the way over, and then he would just leap backwards as far as it could go. And then he would just shake. Oh. It's like the night before Christmas, it said Santa Claus's bowls looked like a bowl full of jelly or jello. And he would shake, and he would particularly shake his rear end, you know, and so he kept moving, jumping backwards. He did see the teacher, though. He was getting closer and closer to her because he wasn't looking back. Going down the row, and she was in the row, and I remember saying to him, stop it. She remembers this. Don't be such a square. Join the party, Lars. Okay.
Oh.
And then he went, he kept going back, and he was within maybe, 3 inches from her?
Somewhere, like, it was close.
3 inches from her face, and his rear end just shaking. And I finally, you know, he was headed for a disaster, so I tapped him again. I said, James, what's the matter now? I said, just look around. What? I said, just turn around. And if you remember the look of terror and horror on his face when he's...
Yeah, because I said, he's going to die right here in the ninth grade doing a dance.
How did you feel when you were inches away from Miss Stuckey's face?
Like to die. I had my behind just shaking all the way down to the floor and was right up in her face and didn't know it. I'm a jump back, baby, and I would jump back and just shake all over and just hollering, laughing, and y'all was laughing. And I said, Lawrence, quit being so, what's the word I used?
You said, don't be a square. Don't be a square.
Don't be a square, Lawrence. Come on and let's dance. Jump back, baby, jump back. And I would just jump it and shake all over. And y'all was hollering, laughing, and I didn't know y'all was laughing because I was right in Miss Stuckey's face. Shaking all over. I looked around. I like to have died.
I remember one time you had a dream, and you were mad at me in the dream. Do you remember that dream?
Oh, yeah, about the end of time.
Yeah, you was very mad at me in the dream.
I remember I was out in front of the house there at Red Hill, and boy, the clouds rolled back, and all kind of stuff was going on. I said, oh, my Lord, it's the end of time, and I ain't ready to go. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Now, what about you? I remember saying something. Glad
we were together in the dream, and I was all excited and just.
Oh, yes, that is right. And you were so excited because Jesus was coming, wasn't you?
You were so mad at me. You said, shut up.
Yeah. Oh, if he's coming. I said, shut up, he ain't coming. No, I wasn't ready. And I know, yeah, little Jesus was ready. I know you were.
Yeah, you had an expression that you called me. A little name you called me in high school.
Little Jesus. I said, won't you cuss or do something wrong? Please do something wrong, Lawrence. Why? Oh, dear Lord. But no, you're right about that. Yeah, we moved to Memphis. You remember? They said what you was talking about, that evangelist.
I was going to.
Go ahead.
You had to go in the church with a pile of hymn books in your hand, and it was raining.
Exactly.
And just things happen to you always, you know, disaster.
Always. And I had Kara was small then, my daughter. And I was toting her. I had a Bible, I had Avon bags where Nancy sold Avon to try to help us live up there in Memphis. And an umbrella over my head, and I went in the front of the church there. As soon as I got in there, Kara pulled around my waist, and I had just drunk a 2-liter Coke before I left the house, I think. And my stomach was swollen out. And she pushed in on my stomach, and my britches went to the floor right in the church. They were holding an umbrella with my britches down. I couldn't do nothing. I had to put her down and all that to try to get my britches up right in the church.
Were there people there already in the church?
A girl come around, Belinda Wilson come around and screamed, and I said, I'm so sorry, honey. Lord, I didn't mean to be in my underwear here in the church.
Tell me about the airplane. And then we're going to talk about the school trip. Then we're going to get serious.
Nancy and I had moved to Memphis to help start that church up there, Calvary Baptist Church in Memphis. And that's why we were up there. The main reason we moved is to help with the church get started up there. And anyway, for Christmas time, we used to go fly back home. And I got off of work. They let me off and work to get off so we could fly back home for Christmas to South Carolina. But we had never flew before. So me and Nancy were nervous and scared anyhow. We'd never been on no airplane. But we prayed, and we prayed, and I said, Lord, you just have to take care of us and give us peace on this little journey. But anyway, we got up on the airplane, and I was scared about how it takes off. I said, I bet that thing will suck your cheeks back to your neck. But it don't. Anyway, it took off easy. We got up in the air, and it was just like sitting in a living room at the house. But I was still a little scared because I was up all that high up in the air, you know. But anyway, they had a radio, a little knob between the seats then, and you could listen to different radio, different songs, selections. And they had gospel, they had country, they had rock, and easy listening. And, of course, I was so scared, I put it on gospel. And I'll never forget Aretha Franklin was singing, Take My Hand, Precious Lord, and Lead Me Home. by Aretha Franklin. I listened to that and listened to it. And the more we flew, and the easier it was, and it wasn't nothing to it but sitting up in a big old house like, I said, well, I think I might ease it over to country music a little bit. And I changed it over to country music, and Tammy Wynette was singing Stand By Your Man. Stand By Your Man. I said, well, that's pretty good. And directly the sign flashed on, fasten your seatbelts, and the stewardess ran and got in her seat and strapped down, and the plane was rocking. I said, oh, my God, Nancy, what's going on? I said, we're going to crash. What in the world? And here was Tammy Wynette still hollering in my ear. Stand By Your Mouth. I'm not going down with you, Tammy. I switched that thing back to Aretha Franklin. Precious Lord, take my hand. I got back spiritual quick. God, hey, God took me off that country music quick.
He sure did. Oh, my, my. Well, James, do you remember our school trip in the 11th grade? We went to New York City.
Oh, Lord, yes.
And
that was a mess in New York.
Was a mess. Our teachers had us very scared. I don't know if we'll say this on the show or not, but remember how they scared us to death over New York City?
Oh, yes. Don't go. You remember, come out the hotel, do not turn right at all.
Yeah.
They had on the left side of Times Square.
They said, there are gangs. There are people will stick you with heroin needles.
Yeah, I remember that.
They said, whatever you do, don't speak to anybody or let them speak to you, because it is very dangerous. Well, our hotel was, what, about two blocks from Times Square?
Yeah, right, almost on it, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But it was a little bit of a walk. But so I think we went out and got a pizza at midnight. We thought that was really something, to go out and get something to eat at midnight.
Isn't that true?
Didn't our class go see Hello, Dolly?
Yes, we did. We was up in top of the chandelier, but we saw it.
Martha Ray. Higher than the chandelier.
You had to look through the chandelier at her.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, we're hanging around Times Square. We went and got something to eat. And remember this, we're standing at the light that said, don't walk at Times Square, and just hundreds of cars going by. And this tough guy, remember this really tough guy, greasy
head. Yeah, little greasy head, leather jacket looking thing.
And you and I were at the stoplight, and I happened to be the one he approached first, because I was standing on the right of you. And he tapped me on the shoulder and he says, hey, Slick, come on around the corner. I got something to show you. And I just about had a heart attack. And the light was, you remember, we couldn't cross the street because the light was still don't walk and all the cars.
Mm-hmm, yeah, exactly.
So I did the brave thing. Do you remember what I did?
You went on the other side of me.
Yeah, I just moved and pushed you over near the guy.
You did. You sure did. You went on the other side of me and had me right up in his face. And he's kind of like, come around the corner, I got some broads. You remember that?
Yeah, he said, I got some broads for you.
We got some broads around here, if you'll come with me.
Okay, we thought. There's a gang around there. There's prostitutes around there. And somebody's probably got a needle around there that's going to poke us, and we'll be an addict for the rest of our lives.
Or either got around that corner and bust us in our head. I said, I ain't going to. Oh, we got out of there.
But we didn't speak to him. Remember, we were told not to speak.
No, they told us not to. They said, don't speak and don't acknowledge, didn't they? And I did until we looked straight ahead and kept on walking him.
No, we didn't walk till the light changed.
I meant till the light changed, yeah.
And when the light changed, we could have won the Olympics.
I mean, we got across that street, didn't we?
We were running. And remember, we thought the guy was behind us, chasing us. We got to our hotel, and we didn't even take the elevator. We went around and around and around the stairs to about the eighth or ninth floor. And our roommate, they had three in a room, and our roommate, he was excited about TV at night, TV late at night, because down here, TV went off at 11:30.
national anthem played at 10:30, didn't
it? So we remember you knocked on the door, said, "Let us in, let us in." And we just knew the guy was coming up there with a knife, and he said, "What is the password?"
Well, thanks, Glenn, do that, you
remember? I remember you said, "Glenn, it's Fatty and Lawrence." Remember, he says, "How do I know it's really you?"
How do I know that? I wasn't saved at that time. I put something on him, didn't I?
You said, "How many Fatties and Lawrences do you know walking around in New York City?"
Yeah. Seemed like I said a little more than that.
You said a lot more than that. You kind of told him where he could stick his password.
I told him, you got that right. I told him what to do with that password.
All right. As my grandpa used to say, enough of this tomfoolery.
You're listening to Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning. I hope you've been enjoying our little laugh fest that we've been having with my childhood friend, James Corbett. I want to play a classic gospel song now in honor of James's memorable airplane ride. This is Gladys Knight and the Pips version of Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Lead
you have been my friend a long time, and I love you, and I'm praying for you. And I know you're having this battle with cancer right now, but you are one of the most loved people I've ever known, everybody. And I've always been under your shadow. You know that. I've always. Huh?
Looked over a shadow.
I have. Every time I want to tell a funny story, my cousin would say, let Fatty tell it. He's a lot better than you.
Becky did love that, didn't she?
But I got your goat one time. I did get your goat when you had me come and you were singing at a church, you and Nancy. And Nancy started introducing, this is right after the tanker holes had hit the
church. Yes. Over in Florence, did you say?
Yeah, it was in Florence.
Oh, yes.
I came out to hear y'all sing.
Yeah, we were supposed to sing that afternoon, weren't we? Or no, I can't remember.
No, this was a night concert in Florence.
Okay.
South Florence Baptist Church.
And Nancy was introducing you to everybody and somebody that he wasn't even in there. I believe she was. This is Lawrence Chuny. Have you ever met Lawrence? No, I don't think I have. He wrote the Anchor Holes. Oh, my gosh. I love that song. I heard that somebody from this area had wrote it. I am so glad to meet you. Here comes another. Now, I was invited guest over there now.
You were supposed to be the star.
I was supposed to be the star. The invited guests could be singing over there. And everybody's around you, and Nancy was instigating it. Come over here. This is Lawrence Chuny. I want you to meet him. He wrote the anchor. Oh, my gosh. I love that song. I'm so glad to meet you. And they were just all over there around y'all, around you and around you, around you. And Nancy's bringing about 100s over there.
You didn't like it, did you?
I said I was on the other side of the pulpit, or the, what do you call it up there?
The platform.
Platform. I said, now, I'm tired of this. So I stood up. I said, hey, y'all, excuse me, please. Excuse me a minute. I said, I wrote What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Will somebody come talk with me, please?
Okay, I want to change gears now. We've had some laughs, but I want to change gears. As we said earlier, you were up and down with the Lord, weren't you?
Oh, yes. Up until May of 76, yeah.
And I remember that. I remember you would have times when you would dedicate your life to the Lord, and it didn't last very long, did it?
No. I've dedicated and rededicated and undedicated. I so much to dedicate.
I'll never forget the night that we were having a prayer meeting and you threw your cigarettes out the door. I'm through with them forever. About 2 hours later, you were crawling on your hands and knees.
Many times, looking for them.
Where did I throw those camels?
Yeah, I was praying to the Lord the next morning. Please help me find my lighter. Lord, have mercy, Jesus.
Okay. But here's the deal. Even though you weren't in a really good place with the Lord, you were playing gospel music, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. I played for a quartet around for a good while, you know, several years. And then me and Nancy sung some together, too, you know, after we got married. And but we was holding on to salvation. Yeah, I was. But I knew down deep I didn't have nothing. But I would rededicate, go to church, and straighten up, go to church about 3 months, and then right back out again doing stuff I shouldn't be doing and wasn't living for the Lord. But I was rededicating something I didn't even first have to dedicate. I wasn't saved. At 12 years old, Lawrence, you might remember, I don't know if you did or not, but a lot of people down where we were from, around 12, you're supposed to become accountable. You ever heard of that?
The age of accountability. I've heard that for many, many
Lord,
years.
And
I've never seen it in the Bible, though. I've never seen that 12-year-old mark.
That ain't in no Bible. And anyway, they thought about 12, you're supposed to join the church or whatever. And so I joined the church and went up there, and I cried with people hugging my neck and all. And if I prayed anything, I can't remember it. The preacher may have prayed something, but I didn't remember it at 12. But anyway, I took that for salvation. And I really thought at that time, I guess I might have was, but never did have the real fruits of salvation.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what, you know, what it was at 12. But, you know, most of the time during high school, besides saying a few words and all, I wasn't that horrible of a person, you know. But after I got out of high school, that's when my color showed. My real color showed that I wasn't saved and the things I would go, went into and was doing. And
yep.
But then I would get tired of it, and then I would try to rededicate and get back right with the Lord, but it didn't never work. And Nancy and I were married, and me and her both was, you know, almost fixing to have, having troubles together because of sin.
And she's a great singer, too. She's a great singer.
Oh yes, she was. Oh, she is, still is a tremendous singer. You know. So anyway, we've sung some even after we first got married, before I really truly got saved. And but we didn't do it hypocritically because we would get rededicated and sing a while and then fall back out, you know, and go into places and doing things we shouldn't have been doing and in sin. That's what it was, just living in sin. But I would get so sick of it because I had enough head knowledge to know that I wasn't living for the Lord.
Yeah.
And I had enough head knowledge to know that there was something better. And I knew there was something that must be, had to be the Holy Ghost convicting me, you know.
Yeah.
In other words, conviction set on me. And you always talk about the fig trees. We lived in a little house on South Calhoun Street, had big fig trees in the bag. And I walk around by myself, looking up in the heavens and to the stars. And I said, God, if there's such a thing as being saved, I sure wish I knew that. If there's such a thing as really being saved and changed, not just saying it, and like I see so many people say that, you know, and live all kind of ways. I said, I want to know if such a thing as being saved and changed my life completely. I was really looking at asking God, you know, myself for that. And not knowing right what, but not, probably a month or a few weeks later, some dear friends of ours, Eskel and Jennifer Hart, that ran around with us, and they had a revival out at their church at Salem Methodist Church out in the country there. And they had a revival out there, and they had Brother Tom Lancaster come in, and he was some more preacher. They don't, I don't think they knew what they got in out there with him. But he preached the gospel, and I mean preached it right. And on Monday night, they called us on Monday night and said, hey, guess what happened tonight? And I said, no, what? He said, we got saved tonight. And my heart just fell. I said, Lord, I wish that was me. Really saved. And Jennifer and Eska told us about how they met the Lord that night and got on the altar and got saved. Invited us out to the church revival the next night on Tuesday night. And Nancy and I were going to go, but the devil meant we wouldn't. And we got the biggest fuss you ever seen in your life. I come in from work and we fussed, and we almost, not physically fist fought, but we fussed. And the devil moved in and wouldn't let us go on Tuesday night. Knew something was going on in the background. But on Wednesday night, we got out there, and the Holy Ghost of God was on me so, and the more he preached and the more he pointed that finger, the more my heart liked to beat at my chest. I said, Lord, if you don't make him hush where I can get on that altar and get saved, I can't take much more, feel like my heart's going to bust. And I got on that altar, and I said, God, if there's such a thing as being washed in the blood, would you cover me with your blood? Would you take away the filth? Take away my past? Wash me and make me clean. You know, I remember the song, Lawrence, honestly, that me and Mama used to sing when I was a little boy. And I'd be sitting under the ironing board, and Mama was ironing, and me and her both were saying, what can wash away my sins?
Yep, yep.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I was a little boy playing under the ironing board. But it would come back to me. What could make me white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I said, Lord, I want to be made white as snow. Please cleanse me and forgive me And he did. Boy, the Holy Ghost of God came down on me that night, and I was saved for the glory of God. May the 26th, 1976, my whole life changed.
A bicentennial babe in Christ.
Yes, exactly right.
And you've never been
many times since, but he has been with me ever since, of all the walk of my life since that day.
You've had a steady walk since then, haven't you?
Oh, praise the Lord, yeah, because of his grace. Hallelujah.
I love that. Sir. I love that story, and I've told you many times. I wish I could write a song, because it was under the fig tree, by the fig tree, that you had an encounter with the Lord.
Absolutely. I wish you could write a song about it.
And you know, Nathaniel was sitting under the fig tree when Jesus walked by. That would be a great song,
right.
Under the fig tree or by the fig tree.
Yeah, I wish you could. You write something about old Big Fatty got saved under the fig, or under conviction by the fig tree.
I couldn't say Fatty, though.
Let's say old Big J.
So,
Lord.
That's a great story. Now, is Nancy there?
She's back in the house.
Okay. I tell you what I'm going to do. Can I call you another time, and you and Nancy, we'll talk about what happened since then, all your travels, and that's a wonderful story, and your son has a great ministry. You got two wonderful kids, great grandkids.
Kara's being used playing for a church, and Jimmy's over there working with a church, and
everybody just lights up when you walk in a room, and you know that's the truth.
I don't know, but they're old crazy things coming in there, don't they?
God is good, isn't he?
He sure is, Lawrence. He is more than that, ain't he?
Anything else you want to say about your walk with the Lord?
Just been a wonderful experience. Seen him do so much miracles things in our life, you know. Things that we had no control over. That's what gets me. I was just thinking, you know, over and over we prayed for things and how miraculously God just came through, and we just stood amazed with our mouths open. Now, how? Look at what God did.
Well, see, I think most people, when they think of you, they think of laughing. But what they do. But what many people don't know, and I'll say this right here openly, you are a very, very devoted follower of Jesus, and you know what it's like to sacrifice and to step out in faith and to not know where the rent money was going to come or how you're going to pay the light bill, but you stepped out there, and God always took care of you, didn't he?
Oh, we just could not believe how he opened the doors for us to sing and all, you know. I mean, we didn't even call booking them and, you know, trying to ask, will they have us? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, now, God, if you in it, you open the doors. And Lawrence, we just stay busy all the time.
Even went to England.
Oh, yes. Lord, opened the door to go over to England. And that was a wonderful meeting over there.
Well, hey, now listen. I want to say a prayer for you, and I want everybody that's listening to us, pray along with me. We need you to be healed of cancer.
Yes, sir.
And you're in a battle right now, and you don't talk about it much. You don't complain much. But I know that it's a battle. So I want to just say a prayer for you, if that's okay.
Yeah, well, I'd love for you to.
Lord, I lift up my friend, James. I thank you for all the laughter he's given me throughout my life. And not only me, everybody that knows him. He just has a way of making life more bearable and more enjoyable. But Lord, he needs you now. He really needs you to come and do a healing work. And we want to ask you to do that, Lord. We know you're the healer. We know that you are the same today, yesterday, and forever. And I just want to ask you that you would touch my friend. He's been my friend all my life. You will touch him and you will touch his family and bless them, and that you would heal this cancer and let him continue to serve you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We know that you can do it. We know that you love James. We know he loves you. So we give this to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
They were watching from a distance, and they would not take their eyes from you. You were bleeding, they were weeping. Faithful sisters, they had followed you. They could not understand, they could not see. They were mourning their loss, and the sky turned black as the earth turned red at the foot of the cross. He was standing. So close, they could hear you sighing. All around them, angry voices pierced the darkness, and you were dying, but they would not leave. They lingered there, no matter the cost, they were staying. They were praying at the foot of the cross. Keep me near the cross, near the cross. May I never stray so far that I cannot see what flowed down to me at the foot. Now I'm standing in your presence. Lord, I cannot take my eyes from you. You have risen, I'm forgiven. Precious Savior, I worship you. I'm not looking back, I've heard your voice. I've made my choice, and it's real, and I kneel at the foot of the cross. Keep me near the cross, may I never stray so far that I cannot see. What flowed down to me at the foot of the cross. Oh, Jesus, keep me near the cross. I want to stay near the cross. May I never stray so far that I cannot see what flowed down to me at the foot. is an old song in the hymn book. I used to sing it as a little child. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Each time that I would hear it, it would make me smile. I didn't understand what it meant back then. It was just a favorite childhood hymn. Oh, but tonight it's real. Now I kneel at the foot of the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross, near the cross. May I never stray so far that I cannot see what flowed down to me at the foot of the cross. Amen. Amen. That's our show for tonight. Thanks for listening. God bless.